The last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
It's time for the Culture Club. I'm delighted today that we're joined by another television architect. What is it about Ireland and their television architects? We have obviously that fella Dermot Bannon, who started, of course, wasn't it, on with Cilla Black on the television. But Hugh Wallace, of course, from the Great House Revival, which is on RT1 at 9:30 on Sunday evenings. And Home of the Year returns on RT television on Tuesday, February the 25th. Before we get into all your choices, how much do you enjoy doing television, making television?
Oh, I love it. I think it was born for it. I think it's an amazing thing to be able to change your career at my age. And I fell into it and I was so lucky. And I can't tell you how I enjoy, you know, the people who actually work in the industry. They're just so professional. But also, you know, being able to meet in the Great House Revival, amazing owners, and then going and seeing extraordinary homes in Home of the Year. So, you know, if you wanted the perfect job outside the office, I've definitely got that.
What sort of feedback do you get from the public? Do you get a certain amount of jealousy, perhaps, that people might have towards the Homes of the Year and even the Great House Revival, that, well, isn't it fine for the others? That's not how we live.
No, you don't get that, because an awful lot of the homes actually are attainable. There are fewer homes that are in the upper end of the market. Most of them are average homes where people have used their creativity and ingenuity to create amazing houses. And even in the Great House Revival, in this particular series, there are houses that are, you know, 300,000, 350 finished. And that's showing what you can do by buying an old house, renovating and doing the work yourself. So it's truly inspirational. What you do get is people coming up the next day going, I don't agree with your score. You know, why'd you give that house now a 9?
Okay, I suppose it's a bit been like I'm Dancing with the Stars or whatever, you know, as well.
And that's what you get. But it's very funny because, so I was in Lanzarote, and this Australian couple came up and said, can I have a selfie with you? Because the Great House Revival actually goes out in Australian TV. So it's amazing.
And yet the TV selections that you've made are nearly all drama. It's not actually the type of television that you make that you seem to watch.
No.
You love a good story, it would seem.
Oh, I love a good story. I love adversity. I love people winning against it. And I think that, you know, they're also examples of challenges, you know, that the people face challenges every day. But I also think that we need escapism. We need to escape and get away from our tweeting and get away from our phones and, you know, go back to our time, me time.
Your first choice that you have is The Handmaid's Tale.
Yes.
Now, why did you pick that?
Because, first of all, it's about adversity and it's about women being treated in a particular way. And you look at that and you go, that's make-believe, that doesn't happen. But if you think of the Taliban, that's exactly how they treat women. If you think of countries, some Muslim countries in the Middle East, that is the way women are treated today. In Africa, women are treated like that today. Not everywhere, but I'm just saying that in
it's not as fantastical as it might seem.
No, it isn't. It isn't at all. And I think, you know, when you think of the progress that has been made in such a very short period, really in 100 years, when women first got the vote. So the change in our social and the social way we treat women, we engage with women, the whole spectrum of attitude, of things not being acceptable, of not being able to say things. And sometimes I say words because of my age and I go, shouldn't have said that. And that's a reality, you know, that, and I think that's correct. But I also believe that we live in Ireland in a very lucky world. We're in a privileged world where you can say, you know, women's rights, you can talk about those things. But in the vast majority of the world today, you can't talk about women's rights.
Let's have a scene from The Handmaid's Tale featuring Elizabeth Moss, Joseph Fiennes and Yvonne Stravowski.
Is this your handwriting?
Yes, Commander Waterford.
You involved a handmaid in your transgressions?
I did what I thought was necessary.
It was unfair for me to burden you with so much responsibility. Now we must make amends.
Amends? Friend, please.
But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Alfred, stay.
It's very dark, though. It's not really an entertainment of an evening, is it?
It's perverse and it's deep. And I actually can see that scene. It takes place in his office at home. And the ability of a program like that to cause you to take a deep intake of breath and to concentrate and to just be horrified by the degradation and the way she is treated in The Handmaid's Tale, and all of them are treated, is just quite extraordinary.
On a lighter note, I believe you're a Star Trek fan, but what sort of branch of Star Trek in particular?
Oh, I quite like the new movies. I think they're fabulous because obviously the CGIs and the whole generation of you know, what's happening is so much more memorable. But I go back to the original series on the telly. And I, you know, again, when I was a kid, I loved that, you know, Beam Me Up, Scotty, the whole sort of entertainment value as well and the quirkiness of it. And the fact that it wasn't perfect. You know, it the sets were really gammy. And I loved all that, you know. And it was like I wanted to be beamed up. I wanted to go somewhere exciting. And that was a different time.
And did that follow you into adulthood? Because you have nominated Star Trek Discovery with Patrick Stewart.
Yes.
I mean, that from your adult life, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. But I'm just saying it continued on all the time. I love those shows. You know, I think they're amazing. They're what could be. You know, sometimes I think we all get stuck in a moment and we worry about things, but we need to wake up in the morning and say, what can be, what could be, what can we do? And that's where the excitement is. And sometimes, you know, I just think people pick up their phone and the first thing, they're into negatives. We shouldn't be into negatives. You know, don't, like people, I don't open my phone. And then you get people saying, you didn't text me back in the last 2 minutes. And I'm going, I was at work. Why would I have my phone on? Why would I look at messages?
Let's get a bit of Patrick Stewart in action in Star Trek Discovery.
The judge advocate believes there is sufficient evidence to conclude that certain members of the crew did mutiny. Mutiny? On a Federation starship? That's shocking. It's unthinkable. No, sir. You know, it wasn't easy to get this report. I had to pull in quite a few favors at Starfleet just to get a look at it. It seems that it was classified by Starfleet intelligence. Not only was the Discovery carrying sensitive equipment which must not be allowed to fall into Romulan hands, not only was there a mysterious explosion which seemed to destroy the ship but didn't, but it seems that there was a mutiny on board. Now, I've read the official report of the inquiry on that mutiny. Disastrous contact with the Klingon Empire led to decades of war.
Patrick Stewart in Star Trek. And then one other TV show. We asked you to go back for something when you were younger and you've gone for the Brady Bunch.
Yeah. I just think that the innocence of that, it was more like a slapstick in terms of comedy. But the Brady Bunch had an influence on our bungalows. Because Bungalow Bliss took some of the essence of the bungalows that are all over
the Brady,
Ireland.
For those, and even I can remember the Brady Bunch. It was two families sort of grafted together.
Yeah.
Father and three sons,
that's
was it?
It?
And mother and three daughters. And the parents had divorced. They were marrying each other, so the children had to get along with each other in a bungalow.
Correct. And not only that, but this is an odd detail, but the handle in the bungalow was a circular handle with a little lock in the middle. And that's what was put into the bungalows in Ireland in the 70s and 80s.
Because of the Brady Bunch?
Absolutely. I think that it's interesting. And then if you got a posh bungalow, you went into the hall and you stepped down into the living room, you'd made it. Because that's what you did on the Brady Bunch.
Surely there was other things like Dallas. Well, Dallas wasn't a bungalow. That's right. It was a mansion.
No.
You're
much earlier, you see, than that.
The Brady Bunch influencing the bungalow bliss around Ireland. I don't remember Frank MacDonald ever complaining about that. Let's get a little bit of the Brady Bunch, though, in which Jan explains to her parents why she hit her sister Marion's school awards.
All those awards staring me in the face was just too much. I'm tired of being in Marcia's shadow all the time.
Now, Jan, you're not in anybody's shadow.
Well, Marcia's 3 years older than you. She should have more to show for herself.
Maybe, but everything comes so easy for her.
Oh, Jan, come on. You have to be realistic about this. Nobody has smooth sailing all the time.
Well, that's right. Marcia has her disappointments, too. She doesn't always win.
You'll never guess what! I just got a call from the school. I've been made editor of the school newspaper.
That's fine, honey.
That's great, Marcia.
I've got to call Jennifer. She'll just flip!
See what I mean? She wants to be editor. Boom, she's editor.
Jan, you're really not being fair. You know that Marcia's been working on that for months.
Look, honey, now if you really feel you're in your sister's shadow, do something about it. Get out and develop your own talent.
That's right, Jan. Some of us are good at one thing and some of us are good at another.
Well, it's like your father and I always say, find out what you do best and then do your best with it.
Okay, let's move from the television to movies.
Yeah.
And you've gone for one which was, I think, made in Ireland back in, was it the 1970s?
It was. 1975, Barry Lyndon.
Barry Lyndon.
Yeah, and that was made in Castletown House and it was only lit by candle. And they actually had to make special cameras at the time to be able to do the movie, to film the movie. And Barry Lyndon was extraordinary because of its perfection of production at the time. You know, the sets, the costumes, the elaborate setting. And it was amazing. I just loved it as a movie because of the pace. But there was also murder and intrigue and social chaos going on at the upper echelons of society.
It starred Ryan O'Neill, who was a superstar at the time, yeah. And who actually was in the studio only a couple of years ago,
wow,
talking about the movie and talked in great detail to me about it. So let's hear Ryan O'Neill and Gay Hamilton in a scene from Barry Lyndon.
Nora, were you obliged to dance 5 times with Captain Quinn?
I don't care a fig for Captain Quinn. He dances prettily, to be sure, and is a pleasant rattle of a man. And he looks well in his regimentals, too. If he chose to ask me to dance, how could I refuse him?
But you refused me.
Oh, I can dance with you any day. And to dance with your own cousin looks as though you could find no other partner. Besides, Redmond, Captain Quinn is a man. And you're only a boy. You haven't a guinea in the world.
If ever I should meet him again, you will find out who is the best man of the two.
Now fight him sword or pistol, Captain, as he is.
Redmond, don't be so silly.
I mean it, Nora.
But Captain Quinn is already known as a valiant soldier. It is mighty well of you to fight farmers' boys, but to fight an Englishman is a very different matter.
Best have your Englishman take you home.
Redmond.
Of course, that was a Kubrick movie, Stanley Kubrick movie as well, Barry Lyndon. But do you not find that these, when Americans come and make movies in Ireland, there sort of becomes a stage Irish hackery about them, the way the Irish music they use and whatever?
Yeah, but I think you have to go back, like, at 75, and it was an amazing movie at the time. Its production values, and it was an international success. And that was very important for Ireland at the time. I just thought it was a wonderful movie.
Do you still go to movies a lot?
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Because you have picked as your most recent movie that you've enjoyed, one that I've actually seen twice, I've enjoyed so much. The scene we have, I'm going to warn people, at this stage, you should have seen Joker, but you might find there be an element of a spoiler in this next particular clip. So turn down your radio for the next 60 seconds or so if you don't want to learn too much about what happens in Joker. This is Joaquin Phoenix in Robert De Niro in a scene which takes place on a TV chat show.
Who's there?
It's the police, ma'am. Your son's been hit by a drunk driver. He's dead.
No, you cannot joke about that.
Yeah, that's not funny, Arthur. That's not the kind of humor we do on this show.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's just, you know, it's been a rough few weeks, Murray. Ever since I killed those three Wall Street guys.
Okay, I'm waiting for the punchline.
There's no punchline. It's not a joke.
You're serious, aren't you? You're telling us you killed those three young men on the subway?
Mm-hmm.
And why should we believe you?
You got nothing left to lose. Nothing can hurt me anymore. My life is nothing but a comedy.
Joaquin Phoenix and Robert De Niro. What grabbed you about Joker?
Well, it was the whole intensity of the movie, and because up to that, the Joker was always a light-hearted character within any movie, whereas now he was displayed really as this troubled, really troubled person who is highly intelligent, sets up Robert De Niro's character to take the fall. And the whole movie was so intense from start to finish. The cinematography, the language, the sort of where he lived and the apartment and the horror of the whole thing. I thought it was just an epic movie. I ended up laughing at bits when I shouldn't, more out of fear. And do you know that sense where you go, I don't know how to react? It was extraordinary.
I've seen it twice. It's a fantastic movie. I'd watch it again. Then what about plays, theatre, shows, musicals? What you go for?
I love going to the theatre. I love going to shows. I was lucky enough, in fact, last week to go to Hansel and Gretel by the Irish National Opera at the Abbey. Amazing production. And it's touring Ireland at the moment, so I really say to everyone, please go out there. It's an opportunity to go to an opera if you don't like opera, because it's lighthearted and you can bring the kids. But I loved Cabaret. I thought that was an amazing. The recent version with Will Young on stage and the end of it where they're all naked at the end. And it's the shock. It's the actual shock that they're going to the gas chamber. And the curtain comes down and you're not sure whether you can clap, because you're drawn in to the emotion of that play. And I think that is an amazing talent to be able to do that.
We have a little bit from Cabaret. This is the original Broadway cast recording with Jill Howarth singing the title song.
Meine Damen und Herren, Mesdames et Messieurs, ladies and gentlemen, and now, once again, Fräulein Sally Bonds!
Is sitting alone in your room. Come hear the music play. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. Put down the knitting, the book and the broom. Time for a holiday. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. Come taste the wine. Come hear the band. Come blow your horn. Start celebrating. Right this way, your table's waiting. No use permitting.
That's something I've ever seen, actually.
Oh, have you not?
Our movie, no. And I wouldn't be one for opera. And there's not too many people have nominated opera, but you have.
Yeah.
Carmen, why? Yeah. What do you like about opera?
Well, I think, first of all, when you go to opera in Italy, it's amazing because they literally bring eggs and tomatoes. So if the singers are no use, they pelt them and they boo them off the stage. So in every town in Italy, they have a theatre and everybody goes to the opera. And it's like going to a show in Ireland, and it's just a fabulous experience. And Carmen is a particularly brilliant opera because it's one of love, romance, death, passion. And it's all captured in this exhilarating music and song and singing that's just uplifting.
Am I right in saying it's the Toreador song?
Yes.
Thankfully I got that right. Anyway, let's hear a bit of it. Carmen. A couple of listeners correcting. I'm not a Trekkie, so I don't know. People are saying that it's Next Generation Patrick Stewart was in rather than Discovery. And here's one. And you're the architect. You'll have to answer this one. The Brady Bunch didn't live in a bungalow. There were stairs to the second level. The cast poses on the stairs. But isn't that because it's a dormer bungalow?
Yeah, it's a dormer bungalow. So some of the bedrooms were upstairs and some were down.
In the attic, effectively, in the roof.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. As we have in Ireland.
Just before we get into music, you were just telling me you were on your way to the opening of the Hard Rock Hotel.
Yeah, down in Parliament Street tonight. We were the interior designers for the project and it's opening. It's a unique design because they decided to go out there because of the Irish music industry. So it's about a celebration of it.
Well, what sort of things do you put into the design of that?
It's really quirky. So every room is different. There's amazing colours. There's posters. It's about colour because the restaurant is a Peruvian restaurant. So those colours from Peru have invaded Dublin.
And is it full of U2 and Thin Lizzy and Boomtown Rats and things like that?
Sinead O'Connor and amazing artwork and sculpture and glass pieces. And it's wonderful. It's not bland and it's not boring.
Your favourite band, though, favourite album, is not Irish. You've gone for Supertramp's Breakfast in America. Why so?
Well, Supertramp is interesting. It's 79. I would have been 23. I'd been in America the year before. And I'd had my first snog with a man. And I got to Paris. And it was the first time I understood my sexuality and the fact that I was no longer a child. And I was in Paris and it was extraordinary and it was like a bulb going on in my brain and Supertramp was playing and it's so evocative for me, the music of Supertramp. And Paris, I can close my eyes and we went down into the catacombs under Paris, illegally in those days. And you went under the psychiatric hospital and there were cells where you could see the scratch marks from the prisoners where the Nazis and the SS used to interrogate people. And the guys we were with, was maybe six of us down there, they'd turn off their lights and we'd all sit in one of the cells and have absolute silence. And that's the most eerie thing, to be in a space with absolute silence and no light. And it's very scary.
Let's hear a bit of Supertramp, your favourite song from the album Breakfast in America, Take the Long Way Home. So Supertramp tape, The Long Way Home. In the couple of minutes we've left, Hugh, I want to talk to you about books, because books are a challenge for you, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm dyslexic. So when I was in school, I was the dunce of the class. I was very lucky that my English teacher recognised I was dyslexic, and I ended up doing my Leaving Cert orally, and I went from being the bottom of the class to being third. And that allowed me to get into college. But funny enough, as I've grown older, and because of predictive text on a telephone, I've now learnt to enjoy books again. And that's fascinating. Now, unfortunately, the only time I get to read a book is when I go on holidays. So a book can have no more than 300 pages. Otherwise, I won't get to the end of it by the time of my holiday. And I go to the company of books in Renla, because there's an array of books and I never know what to buy. And
what do you go for? Do you go for fiction or non-fiction?
I go for fiction. I love a good thriller. So I have The Wolfman and The Watchman for my next trip by John Murray. And that's about intrigue, murder in Stockholm in the 16th century. And then the other book is The Bastard Brigade, which is a war story, a true war story, about a brigade of scientists and soldiers who stopped the Nazis getting an atomic bomb during the Second World War.
And do you find it challenging to read these? I mean, or is it a worthwhile challenge?
Oh, I love it. I love turning the page, the excitement. Maybe because I didn't read, or I couldn't read, or I didn't have the ambition to read. Now I just love a book. I love turning the pages. My problem is sometimes I'll have misread or misunderstood a word, and then I'll be questioning the events that take place later. So I have to go back and find the word.
Would you try audiobooks?
I like to read. I do try audiobooks, but I have to say reading is the most enjoyable experience now for me.
We have to leave it there. We're out of time. Hugh Wallace, thank you very much for being with us. Home of the Year returns on RT Television Tuesday the 25th of February, and The Great House Revival continues this Sunday at 9:30 on RTE1. Hugh Wallace, thank you for joining us on The Culture Club.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.